Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the second shiur of our series on Kashrus, but specifically on Basar V'Chalav. So just a quick review. Last week we brought down the sources for why we're not allowed to mix milk and fleishes together. We saw the pasuk, Lo Sfashal Gedi B'Chalev Imo, and we discussed that pasuk, that pasuk is not, in certain ways, is just an example. Let's say, for example, by Gedi, talks about cooking a goat in its mother's milk. So Chazal say it's just referring to any kosher animal. We discuss the differences between kosher animals, behemoths, chayas, and ophos. So what the Torah is saying is prohibited with milk is anything like a Gedi. A Gedi is what we call behema. So any behema, any kosher behema, what we classify as a behema with milk, is prohibited from the Torah. The other two categories of animals, chayos and ophos, so those things with milk is also midrabbanan. Makes a very big difference. What is usher from the Torah, or what's usher midrabbanan? Again, we talked about birds, what kind of birds we're talking about. Again, we're not going to get into that right now. We also discussed gedarim that Chazal made in order to protect us from messing up the issur d'oraisa. So we discussed some of them, and the one that we're up to now is that from the Torah you can have fleishiks. So the example we gave is you go to Pico Deli, and then you can walk across the street and go to Munchies and get something milchuk. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't have them at the same time. But the last thing we were discussing last week was, however, Chazal made gedarim d'rabbanan. That was their job. As we mentioned last week, Chazal's jobs were twofold. Number one is to transmit the Mesorah from one generation to another. The other one was to make gedarim d'rabbanan. So here is an example. So Chazal made a geder derabbanan so that we don't mess up the iser from the Torah. So therefore Chazal said, if you eat fleishiks and then you want to have milchiks, so then you have to wait. You can't have one after the other. You can't. Why not? So again, there's a machlokas, that's what we got up to last time, there's a machlokas why you have to wait. And again, as I mentioned last week, whatever the reason is, whichever these two reasons you espouse, will result in a nafkamina. There'll be a difference in halacha. So again, just this is what we ended up with last time. One reason is, the reason why we wait between milchiks and fleishiks, is because tam shuman. Fleishiks has a, I don't want to say a stronger taste, but a longer lasting taste. So what? So then the problem is that if you went to Pico Deli, or Subway, or Jeff's, or one of the five million, right? And then you went and had milchiks right afterwards, so it's like you're eating milchiks and fleishiks together because the taste is still there. Second opinion says, no, that's not the reason why you have to wait. You have to wait because if you eat fleishiks, there's apt to be some fleishik meat stuck between your teeth. And then you go across the street, and you go to and go and get something milchik, and you have some milchuk, so then you're like eating milchuk and fleishiks together because you still have fleishiks in your mouth. Okay, so we were discussing that, and the nafkamina, what's the difference? The big difference, so there are many differences, but one that we gave the graphic difference last time, as I mentioned last time, because that's the best example to give. Let's say someone chews fleishiks without eating it. So the example we gave is the classic case of Lois Latinok. Someone is chewing something for a child. So again, in those days, they didn't have Cuisinarts, they didn't have food processors, right? So what would a person do? So if a child was an infant and they were stopped nursing and you wanted to give them fleishiks, so they couldn't chew that meat. So a parent had to chew it for them and then give it to the child. So the question would be, would that parent, or whoever it was, who pre-chewed the meat for the child, would that parent have to wait until they have milchiks? Are they fleishik, as we call it, or are they not? So that's one of the differences. If you hold that the reason is basar v'shinayim, that's because there's some flaciks in between your teeth, well, that person probably very likely has flaciks between their teeth. But if you say it's because of time, because of taste, taste only comes when you swallow it. That's the way that first opinion holds. So according to that first opinion, the person would not be flaciak. According to the second opinion, they would be flaciak. So the very last thing that we got to last time is, so which way do we paskin? Which way do we paskin? According to this reason, it's because of the taste of the flaciak, or is it because of there's something between your teeth? Answer is, we paskin like both. We're machmer like both opinions, so if one or the other opinion applies, we don't care, you gotta wait. Now, I don't know tonight, but maybe tonight, but hopefully in the near future, we're going to talk about this more, about the taste, something that has a strong taste. Now we're saying that flaciks has a taste that lasts, and therefore, if you go and eat milchiks right afterwards, it's like you're mixing milchiks and flaciks together, right? But you have to be very careful. So far, what we're talking about is if you had something flaciks, and then you want to have something milchiks. We're not talking about, right now, the other way around. Let's say you had milchiks, and then you want to have flaciks after. What's the story with that? We'll get to that, but we're not up to that yet. So if that's what's bothering you, hold on, because Amir Tzashem tonight or some subsequent night, we will get up to that. Okay? So everybody got where I'm up to. So we're talking about person A, flaciks. So then, because of both of these reasons, a person has to wait until they have milchiks. They can't just run across the street and have something milchik right away. You have to wait. So obviously the question is, how long? How long do you have to wait? So there are different opinions. Some say to the next meal. Some say till the taste dissipates. But again, you have to realize, once we're talking about waiting, we're talking about dirabbanan. Now, how long you wait is a minhag. Remember, last time we talked about, whenever you're talking about an area of halakha, right away you have to click in. Am I talking about something d'oraisa? Am I talking about something from the Torah? Am I talking about something d'rabbanan? I'm talking about minhag. So there's different minhagim, how long to wait. The Gemara does not say how long to wait. It just talks about that one, I think Shmuel said his father used to wait. He would not eat milchiks if he had flaciks on that day. So let's say on Shabbos, he wouldn't have milchiks Mosei Shabbos. He'd wait till 24 hours. Now, we don't do that. So the question is, how long? Different customs. So believe it or not, the Machaber and Ramah discuss this, and the Machaber says 6 hours. The custom is to wait 6 hours. The Ramah brings down 1 hour. 1 hour. The Ramah brings down 1 hour. Now, but you have to realize, if you wait 1 hour, it's not just 1 hour. We'll discuss this a little more in a second. If a person waits 1 hour, 1 hour is not enough. 1 hour is not enough on its own. 1 hour is not enough on its own. In addition to 1 hour, and not so many people know this, in the addition to the 1 hour, you need more than just the 1 hour. In addition to the hour, you need, and this is going to be important, these words are going to be important not just for now, which they're important for, but also for later. You need, number one is, I hope everyone can see that, kinuach. Kinuach means to wipe out your mouth. Now, how this is traditionally done is by chewing on something. Well, let's stay away from toothbrushes and toothpaste and floss and all those fancy things we have. But what they used to do, and still do, is the way you clean out your mouth is by chewing on something, like bread. So when you chew on the bread, it cleans out, because of the consistency of the bread, that cleans out your mouth, wipes out your mouth. In addition to that, you also need hadacha. Hadacha means to rinse out your mouth, meaning that you have to drink something. That will do it. And also, finally, you need a bracha achrona. right? You need an ending bracha. Meaning that, remember we said according to some, you need to go from one meal to another? So if you wait an hour, so then I ate fleishiks, I had my fleishiks, I'm still in that meal, and what are you going to, I waited an hour, could it easily happen? And then what are you going to do? You're going to have milchiks? That doesn't make sense. Even if you hold 1 hour. So I'm not eating it together, but it's the same meal. So you have to end the meal. Okay? Now, I just want to digress a little and get out of milchiks and fleishiks. This kinuach and hadacha stuff is important in other areas of halacha, a lot of areas of halacha also. For example, kinuach and hadacha, or at least hadacha, comes into play by another halacha. And that is by the halacha of fish and then having meat after fish. Remember last week we discussed about having milk with fish. Milk with meat is aser. Milk with fish is mutter. There are some, not even all, but some Svardim who don't have milk with fish. But not even all Svardim. And most, or as far as I know, all Ashkenazim say that milk and fish is okay. And I can prove it to you. Oh, this doesn't really prove it, but just give you an idea. A tuna melt. Tuna melt is cheese with tuna, right? Fish with milk, right? So people eat that. So that's not to be confused with fish and then having meat. Fish and then meat is a black and white halacha. And that is, we don't have fish and then meat because of a sakana reason. Sakana, a danger issue, a health issue. A lot of people think the health issue is that if you have fish and then you have meat, a person's going to keel over and die. Now, obviously, that's not true. The halacha says the issue of fish and then meat is an area of tsaras. It's a sakana of tsaras. Whatever that means. Doesn't mean leprosy, but whatever it means, it's a different type of sakana. It doesn't mean it's not like a poison or something like that. It's injurious to a person's health. Health, what way? We don't understand completely in modern terms. Right? In modern terms. So if you have fish and then you want to eat meat, you can't do that. What do you have to do? You have to rinse your mouth out. You have to drink something. And this is why, when does it come up? It comes up Shabbos. Because what a lot of people have is, there's things in Kabbalah and otherwise to have fish on Shabbos. So people have fish, again, sometimes even gefilte fish, because there's a borer problem. So that's why we have such a thing, Jews created gefilte fish, so you don't have an issue of picking out the bones or separating the bones on Shabbos. So that's a Jewish invention. And then what do you do? What's a Shabbos meal without fleishiks, right? You can't have that. So you have fish, you want to have fish because of, it's brought down halachisha fish, and it's in the Zmiros that you should have fish, and then you have meat also, it's also in the Zmiros, and also in halacha. How can you do that? You have to wash out your mouth. So that's where the custom comes that between the fish and the, before you eat fleishiks, they'll bring out a l'chaim, right? They bring out schnapps or something like that. That's where that comes from. There's no halacha that you have to drink schnapps on Shabbos, even though there are many people that I know who feel that it's a bigger halacha than any halacha that I know of. But the whole idea of drinking schnapps is not a halacha, but rather it's for this purpose. In other words, you need a separation. You need a hadacha. You need to wash out your mouth between the fish and before you go on with the meat. Some say you should also chew on something. So, right? On Shabbos it's easy. You just take out another piece of challah, right? Another, and chew on that. Again, those are different opinions, but you should. Now, whether you have a formal l'chaim in your house or not, you should be aware that on Shabbos, whether it's at night or during the day, if you have fish, and then you're going to continue your meal with some type of fleishiks, you should make sure that people drink something in between. Now, again, it doesn't have to be you make a big to-do about it. Some people do, again, if it's a l'chaim or something like that. It doesn't have to be schnapps. It just has to be you should drink something in between. Then some people hold, again, that's best to chew on something also, so have a little more challah. Okay? Yeah?
So why do we go one step further with a separate fork?
Also, same with reason, because we're worried about the residue. that's on the fork, and then if we use it for our fleishik meal, so we're worried about the sakana issue. Believe it or not, in halacha, it's brought down that we're more stringent about sakana than we are about quote-unquote halacha. So in a lot of areas, we're more picky about fish to meat than milchuk to fleishik, believe it or not. So we're very careful about anything that's in... There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about things that you're not allowed to do because of sakana. And we're very careful about those, believe it or not. There's all a bunch of things like not putting a coin in your mouth because there's germs on it. Some very interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Kramer.
So then why at like Shanghai Diamond do they serve fish and
I don't know.
Meat with the same...
It's a challenge. It's... I don't know. I'll speak to that later on. I'll tell you someone who's called... Not the... Somebody called the doctor.
Is there, I'm sorry, which one is rinsing, which one is...
This is rinsing, this is cleaning.
So hadacha should be, can be any liquid?
Any liquid.
Even water.
Even water. You can ask my kids what we do, usually around Rosh Hashanah time, Sukkot time, I'm sorry I forgot to do it, but it's like almost a minute again, my family is, I go to the soda pop stop in near Pasadena and get different types of soda. And then we also use it for Ushpizen also, because whoever, I don't have my family, we have a number of the Ushpizen, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So whoever it's their night, they're such a minute. They make a l'chaim with that night. So, you know, we're not going to use snaps. I mean, we could, but we're not. And so we use a weird type of soda, so it works out pretty nicely. Okay, so now, the way we got onto this is, again, if you go according to the Ramah's custom that you only wait 1 hour between melchuk and fleishik, so then just waiting the hour is not good enough. You have to have these three components in addition to it, in addition to the waiting in the hour.
Is that only for the hour, or is it 6 hours also?
What? 6 hours? Only for the hour. No, we didn't get to 6 hours yet. If you hold 1 hour, it's not just 1 hour, it is plus these three things. Now, as you all know, there's another custom. Well, there's actually another custom, but there's another custom which the Mechaber brings down, as I mentioned before, and that is to wait 6 hours. To wait 6 hours. In other words, if you had fleishiks, you have to wait 6 hours until you had milchiks. Now, I should interject here. When we talk about waiting between milchiks and fleishiks, 1 hour, 6 hours, that means from whence you ended eating fleishiks, not the end of the meal. So this comes up a lot on Shabbos, especially a late Shabbos, early Shabbos like this. So some kids have a challenge when they come to Pizza Base Medrash. So some kids are still fleishik. Could be. So now again, you have to realize the 6 hours or the 1 hour starts from when you ended eating fleishiks, whenever that is. So people say, well, I don't remember. So you have to guesstimate, right? You have to figure out approximately or when that was. So again, the Mechaber brings down, no, it's not 1 hour. Well, actually, it doesn't discuss 1 hour. But he says you have to wait 6 hours. The Ramah, who the Ashkenazim go like, says 1 hour. But what's interesting is that the Ramah says it's best to really hold six. Even though he says that the custom in Krakow, I guess, or whatever, was 1 hour, he says it's best to hold six. And the Shach, right, the Shach who we really go like in Halakha, especially in Yoredeya, says, the Shach says as follows, Ro'i l'chol mi shiyesh bo ruach ha-Torah, that so should be the conduct of anyone who has ruach ha-Torah, whatever that means, is that they should wait 6 hours. And that's the prevalent custom. A couple of weeks ago, a girl who was engaged, who's a kala, came up to me and she said, you know, Rabbi Sonar, when I get married, I keep my chasen's minhagim, right? So I said, that's correct. So she said, well, my chasen's minhag is 1 hour. Can I start doing that now? Before. So it was a very difficult thing to tell a kala, but I had to break it to her that basically we say, it ain't over till it's over. So, you know, even though we're buying the gifts and getting ready for the chasna, but, you know, until it's over, you know. So anyways, now, just parenthetically, some people, there are some yekas that hold 3 hours. You might have heard of that. Believe it or not, you don't see that anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. And for years, I was looking all over, where did 3 hours come from? So I thought maybe the 3 hours is like a compromise between one and six, maybe. I don't know. But it happens to be, I never saw it anywhere, but the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva is a famous sefer in Yoredeya. It's written by the first Munkacher Rebbe. I think the first. Anyways, so in his discussion of these different minhagim, he happened just on the side, slip in, and some whole 3 hours. Like, it's a whole long Darkei Tshuva. It's very interesting, just like in the middle there, he just slips in, you know, there's one and three, and one and three, and one and three, and one and three, and some whole three. One and six, and there's some whole three, and then one and six, and one and six, and one and six. You know, so it's very interesting. So, but again, in general, six is the really strong minhag. In fact, the Aruch HaShochan, not the Shochan Aruch, but the Aruch HaShochan, everybody heard of the Torah Tumima? This is Torah Tumima's father. He was the Rav in the Vardik. It's one of the, if you come to Mishnah Berurah's Shir, I quote the Aruch HaShochan quite often. So the Aruch HaShochan says that if a person doesn't hold 6 hours, they're a Poretz Geder. There's someone, a very strong language. Poretz Geder is someone who broke a fence, broke through a safeguard. So again, now this thing of waiting is a really strict halakha. Chazal came down really hard on it. And I'll show you an example of it. What would you say, let's say a person did the following. They ate fleishiks, and then, don't say this ever happens, because I'm sure it does. And the person forgot they ate fleishik. They forgot they were fleishik. That reminds me to turn off my phone. They forgot they were fleishik. And then, right after they ate fleishik, so let's say within an hour, but let's say right after, they went to the refrigerator and took out some milk, or something that was milchik, and made a bracha. And made a bracha on the milchik. So what would you say? Could they eat it? Now you have to realize, if they don't eat it, if they don't eat it, they just did, according to most people, an Issur D'oraisa, right? They said, a bracha l'batala. Right? So you would say, they could eat it. Believe it or not, the halacha is they can't. Not if it's an hour later, so then we'll rely upon the custom that's an hour, and then they can have a little bit. But if it's right after, like somebody just fritzed out, and they forgot they were fleishik, and they want to have something milchik, and they were going to eat it right afterwards, and then and they made the bracha, and then before they ate it, they realized they were fleishik, they would not be allowed to eat it, believe it or not. That's how strongly Chazal came down on this waiting stuff, that you have to wait. Okay? So everybody has different minhagim. Now again, it's not my place to tell you what you should do. Again, whatever your custom is, 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is. But again, if you hold 1 hour, you have to realize you have to have these three components in addition. Now, the question that I left you with last week is, okay, you wait as ever long as you wait. But let's say you're a six-hour person. And then after 6 hours, this could very easily happen. You ate dinner, and maybe you went to sleep. You woke up the next morning, and you're about to eat breakfast, right? Okay, daven and whatever, right? And then you're about to eat breakfast, and then you realize that you have something in between your teeth. And you're pretty certain that it's fleishiks, because that's what you had the night before. So now what? So believe it or not, the halacha is that you don't have to wait another 6 hours. You have to take it out, what we call nikur, you have to take it out. Some say you should wash your mouth out, but you don't have to wait an additional 6 hours. Once after 6 hours, they say that food is pretty much digested or had your saliva and being in your mouth has had some effect on it. So for it's not like it once was. You do have to take it out. You shouldn't eat milchiks while it's in your mouth because the mice said it is fleishiks, but you just have to get rid of it, and then you don't have to wait an additional 6 hours after that. Okay? Now there are a couple of cases where even if you're a 6 hour person, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You could wait less, even if you are a six-hour person. One case is if a person's ill, if a person's sick. So if a person's sick, believe it or not, this came up I think this past time somebody asked me something like this, that someone was ill, and the family holds 6 hours. So the question is, they ate fleishiks, so could they have milchiks right after? They have milchiks within the 6 hours. Not right afterwards, but within the 6 hours. Answer is, the Piskei Tshuva says yes. that as long as they wait in an hour, as long as they wait in an hour, even though they have fleishiks, they have, could have milchiks after an hour. Again, they should do these three things. But in that case, that would be an exception to the rule, where since the person is ill, we don't make them wait too long. Well, now, this, believe it or not, could come up. It could come up not only the case that was asked, but I don't know if it's still true, but it used to be that many antacids were milchik, believe it or not. So you can imagine this would happen. Somebody had cholent on Shabbos, and not to cast aspersions on any cooks, but you know, maybe the person had a little too much, or whatever the case may be, and maybe an hour from then, they're not feeling so well. So again, they should wash out their mouth and things like that, but then after an hour, could they have an antacid? Again, even if you want to be machmir and say that it's considered milchik, which again, there's an argument about because it's medicine, but let's leave that aside. Even without that, the Piskei Tshuva says very clearly that if a person's ill, that even if they're from a six-hour family and they normally hold 6 hours, they could wait 1 hour, these three things, and then have milchiks. Now again, I don't know if that means they could go to Munchies and have a good time. But in other words, whatever they need for their illness, which is milchik, like in the old days it used to be hot milk, right, things like that, so then they could have that. They could have that. Now also, another area where you could wait less than 6 hours if you're a six-hour family is children. Again, I ask this kind of a lot. Now, obviously, if you have a young child, that child, even if your family is a very strong six-hour family, that child does not have to wait 6 hours. You know, when a child was an infant or very young, they're not even chinuch age, whatever age that you might think that is. So they maybe you shouldn't give it to them together, milchiks and fleishiks. But again, as long as you don't give it to them together, they're a real small child, they can have fleishiks and then milchiks. Then at a certain point, you know, you have to use your seichel, that at a certain point you start being machanach the child, you have to wait a certain amount of time. Not 6 hours, it might be a half an hour, it might be an hour, whatever it may be. And then as they get older, again, you have to start once the child has some cognition of what it means, milchiks and fleishiks. You know, again, if a kid's a year old, they don't know what's going on. So again, you don't have to wait, you shouldn't give it to them together, but you don't have to wait even an hour. But once they start getting older and they have some idea about milchiks and fleishiks, so then you start waiting, then you start expanding time, and like we do with every area of chinuch, slowly but surely it gets to the right time, usually by the time they're bar or bas mitzvah.
And what about cleaning out the mouth?
That, for a really little kid, you don't have to do that. You don't have to drive them crazy. Okay, now that's, as I said before, we're talking about having fleishiks and then you want to have milchiks. How about the other way around? How about the other way around? How about if you want to have milchiks and then fleishiks? So then what's the story? Classic example of this is shuas, right? Depending on how you do it, but Ramosha has a tshuva that at a shuas meal you should have both. He proves this from the Ramah, that explains the Ramah that you should have milchiks and then you should have fleishiks at the same meal. Okay? So then what do? So, first of all, the first thing you have to do is wash off your hands. So in other words, I had milchiks. I don't know, whatever it may be. Yeah, pizza, right? Yeah, pizza. So the first thing you have to do is you have to wash off your hands before you eat fleishiks. Why? Because we're scared that you have milchiks on your hands. So I have milchiks on my hands. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that. So now you bring out the chicken, right, the fried chicken, and you're going to lift up the fried chicken with also your hands, and without realizing it, you got some of that milchik residue from the pizza onto the chicken, and you're eating it together. So the first thing you have to do is wash off your hands. Then it depends. Then if you drank something, let's say you drank milk or something like that, or even without... Everybody says you should do, hadacha. You should wash out your mouth. You should wash out your mouth. So you have to wash your hands. You should wash out your mouth. And then, bracha achrona. You should make a bracha achrona, like whatever it may be, depending on what the bracha is. And then you can have fleishiks. Again, this applies very often on shavuos. Okay?
Bracha achrona there would be benching?
Well, it would be pizza in that case, but by Shavuos we usually don't have a
different bread, right?
Right. So there, if it, you had bread, so you wouldn't have a bracha achrona. Just wash out your mouth and wash your hands.
Because we're always saying before it has to be the
same
different
meal.
This
right.
is not the same meal. This we're saying a different meal.
Right. So this is a little different. There's one exception. There's one exception to this rule that if you had milchiks, so all you have to do is wash out your hands, wash out your mouth, and then you could go on. And that is by what we call hard cheese. Now, hard cheese does not mean cheese that is hard, physically hard. It's just a phrase we use for aged cheese. Now, again, the name of the shiur is Kosher Concepts, because that's what I like to focus on. Because I feel if I could relay the concept well, some of the halacha is very easy to remember. So if you remember, you have to wait between, if you have fleishiks to milchiks. Why do you have to wait? There are two reasons. One is maybe it's stuck between your teeth. The other reason is the taste lasts. Remember, that was number one up here. So by milchiks, we don't say the same thing. You know, you eat milchiks, I don't know, whatever it may be. You have a candy bar, you have a milk munch, and after 5 minutes, there's no taste there. It's gone. The taste dissipates very quickly. But Chazal said there is some milchik, which is like fleishik. In other words, the taste lasts. So the same way that when I ingest fleishiks, I have to wait because if I have milchiks right afterwards, it's like I'm eating it together because the tastes mingle. The same thing could apply by milchiks. That there is a type of milchiks where the taste is strong, and therefore, if I have this type of milchik, and then I have a pastrami sandwich right afterward, even if I do wash out my mouth, and even if I do wash off my hands doesn't help anything, not for taste, so you're intermingling the flavors. And that would be a problem. Where is that? That's by a hard cheese. Again, hard cheese does not mean it's hard. It means it's aged. It's aged. Now, how aged is aged as far as halacha is concerned? Answer is most poskim say 6 months. Believe it or not, there is an opinion brought down in the Dark Yeshua that says 1 month. Now, you have to realize, I heard a rumor that Rav Eliyahu holds this way, but I never heard it confirmed. So, you have to realize if you hold one month, you know, with refrigeration, you know, that's not that long. But in general, we say 6 months. Most people say 6 months. Now, so again, if you had cheese that is a hard cheese, so after you eat that cheese, if you want to have fleishiks, you can't just wash off your hands and wash out your mouth. You have to wait whatever amount of time you hold from fleishiks to milchiks, you will have to hold from this type of milchiks to fleishiks. So let's say, if you hold 6 hours after you had cholent to go to munchies, assuming you're not getting something part of the munchies, so the same thing would apply to a hard cheese. If you had a hard cheese, you'd have to wait 6 hours till you had fleishiks, whenever you finished that hard cheese. Now, so everybody asks me, well, how do I know? How do I know if the cheese that I'm buying is a hard cheese? Very simple. And that is, and I used to tell the girls in Beis Yaakov, one of the things hopefully they'll learn, and hopefully you'll learn, is not only how to present the shiloh and what the concepts and when the issues are, but also hopefully you'll get some appreciation what forgiving a hashgacha means. It's not just watching over things. There's so many other things that a hashgacha, that a rabbi machter, has to cover. A myriad of things. We're talking about chol shavs, we're talking about milchus and fleishiks. You know, there's tons of things. You know, it could be yashan, it could be chol yisrael, it could be tons of things. We'll get to many of them, hopefully, blame that. But this is one of them, and that is, if let's say you give a hashgacha on a pizza shop, you got to know what kind of cheese they use. Because if they do use a cheese that is an aged cheese, it's part of your responsibility that the pizza shop make it known to the customers that, you know, this is a 6-hour pizza. Right? Now again, the Dark Yeshuva does bring down that if you cook it and it becomes soft, it could be different. But again, not everybody agrees with that. Now, again, it's the responsibility of the hashgacha to tell you. but they sometimes don't tell you in the way that you think they would. So, for example, I used to give out, I'm sure everybody could see this clearly, but I think I have a few extras so we could pass it around. And that is, I Xerox here, a label of a Migdal cheese. Migdal cheese. I got a couple more. Here's a Migdal cheese. But by the way, it's Xerox twice. Don't think that there's the same thing. Now, this is, as you can see, Parmesan grated cheese. It's Migdal cheese. Now, you know, as far as I know, it's still true. There's two kosher cheese companies. I mean, there's more now, but Migdal and Ha'olam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see those around? It's the same company. It's the same company. The only difference is one's Chol Yisrael and one's not. Ha'olam is Chol Yisrael milk. The cheese is made out of Chol Yisrael milk, which Mr. Shem Blinder will get to. And Migdal is not Chol Yisrael milk. That's the difference. But it's the same company, same machinery, same whole thing. So if you look at the Migdal, it says kosher, kosher l'Pesach, it says Parmesan grated cheese, aged over 10 months. So now, like, why are they telling you that? They're like, why are they telling you that? Answer is, they're telling you that because they're assuming that you know this halacha. That if you see a cheese, and on the cheese, on the label, it says aged for more than 6 months, so then you know this is a 6 hour cheese.
Is there another example besides Parmesan?
Not that I know of.
Cheddar.
The cheddar also, I think. Oh, yeah, cheddar. Exactly. No, it is cheddar. Because if you look on the other... Listen to me. If you look on the other side... Now, this is, I think, not true anymore. But this is something that, you know, as you can see, these are the old kosher updates from Rabbi Eidlitz. But if you look at the first kosher alert, now, as far as I know, it's not true anymore. But the first kosher alert was when it first came out, was Robert's American Gourmet Low-Fat Pirate's Booty. Everybody remember?
Yeah.
So puff rice and corn is correctly labeled OUD. However, it should be noted as stated on the package with aged white cheddar. Right? Mm-hmm. So at this time, they wrote, the cheese is aged for over 6 months and may require a 6 hour waiting period before eating meat. And I think subsequently they came out that it wasn't really cheddar, it was just sprayed on, some type of thing. And it's not really aged and it's not cheddar and it's, I don't know. So I don't know, I think you could still get the product, but I don't know if it's still an issue of a 6 hour cheese. But see, that was, the assumption at that time was that it was aged cheddar. So again, don't freak out about it, because if you have a cheese, your assumption is rightfully that it's not a 6 hour cheese. You have the right to assume that it's not, and it's the Hashgacha's obligation to write on there somewhere aged six or more. And then if they write that, again, they're not going to start giving you a Dvar Torah, and therefore you have to wait 6 hours or 1 hour, it depends, you have to do Kinuach and Hadach, right? They're not going to write that. But that's what you have to look for. So if they write that on a cheese that you buy, you have to be aware that's a 6 hour cheese. So if you get that and you eat it, so then you have to wait 6 hours, if you hold 6 hours, until you have fleishigs.
So if you go to Megillah or any of the kosher pizza,
you have the right to assume that it's not.
Okay.
You have the right to assume it's not. It's the Hashgacha's job that if it was, they'd have to let you know, unless they hold like that opinion that once it's cooked, so it loses its flavor and therefore it's when it melts and all, you know. But that's the Rava Macher's issue. That's not my issue, right? So that, but that's his responsibility. Forget that. Let's say you have a tostada with salad and they put cheese on the top. So in that case, for sure, it would definitely be the Hashgacha's responsibility and obligation to make sure that if that's a 6 hour cheese, we'll call it that, that they have to let you know about that. And if they don't tell you, you have the right to assume that it's not. And it's only wash off your hands, wash out your mouth cheese. It'd be gross negligence if it wasn't.
Is all Parmesan cheese?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You have to look at, I mean, like the Ha'olam one, only that's the only one I know of.
Yeah.
Ha'olam is the same thing. And it has to be refrigerated.
Right.
And sprinkled. I think it says...
It's
I think it's just like this, but it's
right.
Olam, but again, it's the same company.
Yeah, yeah.
And they write on their, I forgot, we have it in our refrigerator, but again, so you have to be very careful with that. See, we're going to talk about that later when we talk about something sharp and things like that. There's also another thing, and that is when we go through these halachas, you'll be learning the halacha, hopefully, you have to use certain strategies to circumvent certain problems. We'll get to that by onions and things like that. Same thing, talk about by steam and condiments and steam and other things. You have to use a little smarts to try to set up a kitchen, especially the women who do set up a kitchen, to set it up in a way that you minimize questions. So like, if you do have that Parmesan cheese around, you know, you keep it in the refrigerator and whatever, but you should try to make sure that nobody mixes it up with the regular cheese, right? You'd want to do that because it's very easy, especially for a man, to not look and you just take out something and you put it, you know, it's cheese and we don't even look and you sprinkle it on and you're eating it and with no clue that it's a problem. I mean, it's not a problem, but it's a 6-hour wait. So if it's your anniversary and you're taking my wife out to dinner tonight, that will be a problem. So again, some of the things you have to think about is a strategy we want to try to cut off Shilas at the pass. So again, you have to be aware that if you have something like that, or when we'll talk about it later, an onion that you cut with a fleishig knife or a milk knife, right? And you have leftover onion, so that onion is a time bomb. Right? Well, we'll talk about it later. This Parmesan cheese is maybe not as much of a time bomb, but it is, because, you know, somebody's could potentially mess it up. Right? We saw this halacha last week, when we have bread that was used, we talked about this last week, bread that was used in a let's say, a fleishig meal, and you have leftovers, so Chazal were scared about that bread, because maybe there's fleishig residue on it. Then Saturday night, you know, your husband's got to come home and slice them off and put some cheese on it and make grilled cheese. But there's fleishig residue. That bread was left over from the Shabbos meal, and maybe somebody got some fleishig residue on it from their hands, like we just talked about with the pizza. So Chazal were worried about that. So again, what you want to do is you want to anticipate those problems. You got to watch out for those type of things which are halakhically dangerous, so to speak, like these type of things.
Is there a difference between aged cheese and aged for 6 months cheese?
No. They're not going to write if it's aged for a month. They're not going to write that. Because, like I said, most hashkachas do not say like that opinion, age for a month. They're gonna go up according to the opinion that it's 6 months. So that's what you're going to see. 6 months or more. So like
says,
this Parmesan is 10.
If it just says aged and doesn't say the time, we have to assume that it's...
I assume if they just write age, that means it's a tip-off to you that it's, you know... Like, I think on this one, it said age at least 10 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they can't say...
Well, like the snack, it didn't say, it just said aged.
Yeah, it just said aged cheese. I forgot what it said. It stated on the package with aged white cheddar.
It doesn't say how long it's aged.
Right. So that's why Rabbi Eilis was drawing people's attention to it. Okay, so that's another gather. Now, again, what we've done so far today is just one gather derabanan. It's one of the most famous, and that is weighing between milchiks and fleishiks, how long and how do we do that? From fleishiks to milchiks, and now we've discussed from milchiks to fleishiks. Now, another famous gather derabanan is that not only we have to separate milchiks and fleishiks. So one of the ways we do that is by separate dishes. We have to have separate dishes. So, in fact, it's brought down in halacha that they even bring psukim about this, that it was a time-old minog of Klal Yisrael that they used to make a mark on a milchik utensil. They used to make like a notch or a scrape or whatever you want to call it on a utensil to show if there was milchik, to the extent that if you lived in a Jewish neighborhood and you found a fork and the fork had a not, you know, a discernible notch on it, not just from use, you had the right to assume it was milchik. You had the right to, because it was such, that was the custom. So in other words, if you found a plain fork and there was nothing on it, your assumption was it was probably fleishik. If there was a notch on it, so then you had the right to assume it was milchik. You had the right to assume it was milchik. Now, believe it or not, so we don't do that so much today. And the reason is because we don't make notches on things because we have different patterns, right? So we have one pattern in our house, well, you know that's fleishik. And this pattern is milchik. Now, again, here's another case. I used to tell the girls in Beis Yaakov, that if you do this, you don't make notches on the milchik. So we have two different patterns. So that's usually what we rely upon. But you have to make sure that the milchik pattern and the fleishik pattern are different from one another, discernibly different. And the case I love to bring up is it happened in my house, Pesach time, that my wife bought two, you know, you have two sets of for Pesach. So I used to get, and now, you know, there's a very common pattern that, you know, there's like a little rose, a little flower at the end of the, you know, and it's a, you know what I'd be talking about if you probably don't even notice. But, you know, so I looked at my wife and I said, the milchik and the fleishik are the same. I can't tell the difference. So again, this is what women have to realize. Men are totally wired differently. So my wife looked at me and she said, what are you talking about? Can't you see that the flower at the end of the fleishik is much bigger than the one in the milchik? That's a woman thinking. A man doesn't see the big half centimeter difference between the milchik and the fleishik. So like to a woman, it's pashit. To a man, I don't know. I have no clue. Right? So I made my wife go out and get another milchik. Because, you know that. And so our anniversary was a couple weeks ago, so I didn't know what to buy. So I asked Bela, like, what should I buy mommy? So one of her ideas was I should buy, I don't know if this happens in your house, but evidently it's happening in my house, that somehow flatware, like forks,
yeah,
knives,
disappear.
Yeah.
Right? And after like, a certain amount of time, you have to get another set of, because you just have one fork and one knife and one spoon left. It's the strangest thing. And kind of hard, you know, we have company over and things like that, so, you know, one fork, one spoon, one knife doesn't cut it, pardon the pun. So, you know me, I was in Costco, so I was thinking of buying, you know, they had like a few of them, and I was thinking of, so, but right away I decided, even though it was, I think, the milchik that she needed, and the milchik is usually the plain one, and the fleishik usually has the little rose, and I saw a set of like 490, you know, like for the Costco, for $3, you know, the classic Costco thing. So I was going to buy it, but right away I didn't because it was going to be a present, so I wanted to be surprised. But now what do? Call and say, well, hypothetically, you know, like a, you know, like one of those learning type of things. So if you would have a brother, would he like, you know? So I didn't buy it. But I'm telling you, I really was scared to buy it because of messing up the patterns. Like, I don't know which pattern she likes, you know. It's plain and then rose and then. So again, I remember this Pesach thing where I said to her, you know, the same thing. Go. So therefore, that's what we do. Believe it or not, the Dar Ketshuva brings down that even if you have different patterns, you should still make a notch on the milchik. Because it's such an old minug for dore, 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 doros that you should do it anyway. No, as far as I know, nobody does it. But it's just an interesting concept. Just an interesting concept. But again, it's also interesting, the Dar Ketshuva brings down that really you should have three types of things. Milchik, fleishik, and parv. Now you know, as far as some things are concerned, we do have that. Like for example, towels, or scrubbies, or sponges. So you know, you have the blue, and you have the red, and you have the green. Or whatever you know, color scheme you want to come up with, right? The blue is sometimes for milchik, and the red is for fleishik, and the green is for parv. Right? So, you know, or whatever is selling at Costco, yellow, whatever would work. So again, you don't have to, but it is advised for certain things, obviously, to have parv. Like, for example, for a knife to cut your challah, it is brought down, it's best to have a challah knife that's pariv. Even though, you know, usually we use a clean knife and everything like that, so really you could technically use a fleshik knife or a milchik knife as long as it's clean. But believe it or not, it is brought down in many poskim that you should have a knife that is a pariv knife that you use just for bread, believe it or not. Now, there's a Magen Avraham which a lot of people don't know about. The Magen Avraham says that this thing of having separate milchik and fleshik utensils is also a very strong thing, because the Magen Avraham says it goes so far that you cannot kasher from milchik to fleshik and fleshik to milchik. Like, for example, if you have to have separate utensils, for a bachelor, it could be pretty simple, pretty easy, and especially if it's a pyromaniac. And that is, he just needs one fork, one spoon, one knife, and a blowtorch. Right? Because all he has to do is, you know, maybe he doesn't want to wash, and so he cleans. So, you know, I have one fork, one spoon, one knife, and just blowtorch it after every use. So then, it's kosher, right? And it's part of it. So the Magen Avraham says you can't do that. You can't kasher from milchik to fleshik and fleshik to milchik. Why? Simple. Because the Magen Avraham says we're worried that at some point you're going to get mixed up. Right? One day the propane is low and he's not going to, so he doesn't want to kasher it. And they say, yeah, it's fleshik. And really, last time he used it was milchik. And he's just deluding himself or forgetting, and he's going to use it with steak. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says, don't go there. We don't kasher from milchik to fleshik and fleshik to milchik. What you can do, as you're probably aware of this, is you can kasher from, let's say something was milchik and became treif. Then when you kasher it, which in Mir Sashem we'll talk about some other time, when you do kasher it from treif, now once you kasher it from treif, it is pariv. So now this thing that used to be, let's say, milchik became treif and I kasher it, it's pariv. Now you could switch it over to fleshik. So you're going to say to me, well, that hopefully doesn't happen in my kitchen. It could for one time a year, and that is Pesach. In other words, that Pesach time, if you have something that could be kosher, so it's chametz dip, that is in our book, when Pesach comes around, that's considered like treif. So you bring it to the shul, and we kosher it for you, so now it becomes pariv. When Pesach begins, so let's say it was fleshik, and you kasher for Pesach, now it's legitimately pariv when Pesach comes, you can use it for milchik. Then if you want, after Pesach, just keep it for chametz dik and keep it for milchik. You could do that. What you can also do is, Rabbi First in Chicago told me that you could kasher from milchik or fleshik to pariv. That you could do. That you can also do. So that's not a problem. It's just from milchik to fleshik and fleshik to milchik. That you cannot do, the Magen Avraham says. And we usually go that way. We don't allow cross, because again, we're scared everybody's going to get all mixed up. Okay, good.
That's just for utensils? So how does that then come to play with, like, people that kosher the ovens out?
Okay, I'm leaving ovens till the end. It gets a little more complicated. Another gzeirah d'rabbanim, and believe it or not, it's brought down in halacha, is you're supposed to have separate salt receptacles for milchik and fleshik. My answer is simple. Because we're scared that you, let's say, Shabbos meal, so I have this bread, and I'm dipping it into the salt, right, which is what you're supposed to do, right? You dip it into, Mishnah Berurah says, when you make hamotzi, you're supposed to not sprinkle salt on the bread, rather, you should sprinkle the salt on the challah board. Then you dip each piece of bread into salt three times. There's a gematria with that. Okay, yeah, Hashem's name is 26 times 3 equals lechem, or something like that. So there's three dips. And so that's what we do. The Mishnah Berurah brings that down. So we're scared that maybe you're going to use the salt, and then you're eating the bread, and then there's some fleshik glop on it, and then you take the bread again after you ate from it, and you dip it in the salt again, and now that salt has fleshik residue on it, right? Like we said before. And then Mlava Malka comes around, and you're having your grilled cheese, and you take some of that salt out of the receptacle and you put it on the grilled cheese, but that's basic salt. So therefore, you have to have separate receptacles for salt. And one is for milk, one's for fleishik. I know what you're all thinking. You're saying, well, wait a second. But he's saying receptacles. He's not saying salt shakers. And if you're ever at like an old-fashioned house or whatever, people had, in the old days, salt, little salt bins, you know, these little crystal bins. People still use them. But once more and had, when it rains, it pours. So we have salt shakers, right? And usually when it rains, it pours anyways, right? So how about in that type of case? If we have salt shakers, we're not so concerned. You're not dipping any fleishig into it. If you have a receptacle, I can understand the problem. But if you have a salt shaker, where's the salt coming into contact with? It's not coming into contact with anything unless it's out of the shaker. So you're right. So most poskim say that if you have salt shakers, you don't have to worry about this issue. You use your salt shaker for milk or for fleishig, and it doesn't make a difference because it doesn't come into direct contact. Some people, believe it or not, are still machmir and have separate salt shakers for milchuk and fleishik. Why? Believe it or not, for a different reason. A different reason. And that is, Rabbi Blumenkranz Olashon discussed this with Debbie when he was over our house a few years ago. That is, and this really gets into the oven's problem, and it's getting a little late, so I'll just introduce this problem, and we'll get into that Mir Hashem next week. And that is the issue of Zeya means steam or vapor.
So that would mean all your
spaces. Oh, one time. So steam or vapor. Believe it or not, probably for us it's a bigger issue than it was before. And Amir Sashem, next week we'll discuss it. But the issue is as follows, and we'll just introduce the idea, and believe it or not, we'll pick it up next week. And that is, if you have a pot, and you're making chicken soup, something. And it's covered. And you open up the pot, and you want to add salt to it, right? So you open up the pot, and you're shaking salt into it, right? So what's happening? Let's go slow motion here. So you open up the pot. What's coming out? Steam. Now, steam, by definition, is hot. We'll get to this later, but there's a four-letter word in kashrus, and that is heat. Something hot. It gets a rav's attention a lot faster. We'll discuss this later, but I always like to tell the story that when we live on Crest already, someone was at our house, came over for Sukkos, and they sat down and they started asking me a shaila, and Avrami was maybe 5 years old then, maybe six. And as soon as the person finished asking the shaila, Avrami said, "Was it hot?" because I heard it all, hear it all the time. So again, this is one concept you're going to know that you have to tell a rav whether something is hot or not hot. Very important. Steam is obviously hot. So now this vapor is coming out of the chicken soup. What is that? That's hot fleishiks. Now you're shaking salt into that, let's say into the soup, right? Low sodium diet, let's not get into that. Okay, so now what's happening? So now that hot steam is coming up. Where's it going? Into your salt. This is exactly what Rabbi Blumenkranz was talking about. Exactly what he's talking about. So he told us, and we'll pick this up next week, he told Debbie that you have to be very careful with that type of stuff. So he said that he used to tell his wife that whenever you're doing something like that, to put the condiment in your hand, then go over, lift up the pot, and put it in that way. Because or else, you're getting into trouble. And the last thing I have to tell you now, it's not just by steam, but it could be anything hot. So let's say you have a little kid, and you made them a hamburger. And they want to put ketchup on the hamburger. So you have these Heinz ketchup things, and they have the snout, and they squeeze it, and so again, if they, the way kids are, they get the snout, it could be mustard, it could be anything, very close to the opening, very close to the burger, or maybe in contact with the burger. Now again, this could be with milk also. So now you have to realize, potentially you can have actual fleishiks on the opening of that ketchup, whatever it is, right? And then if you use it, most people just use it naturally for the other thing, for milk. And for fleishiks, and you know, most people don't have separate fleishik ketchup and fleishik milk of ketchup. Ketchup is part of. So again, we'll come up with other cases also like this, but again, when you have a situation where there's heat, like steam, you gotta be careful. So this is a segue. So you gotta be careful with salt, because having separate milk and fleishik salt is not so crazy, because we have a lot of cases about that. And if you remind me next week in Mishnah Shalom, we'll pick up with another case like this with Rabbi Blumenkranz showed us about not even a fleishik oven, but a fleishik exhaust. Mishnah Shalom, we'll talk about that next week. Okay?
Yeah.